Yes. What up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com, and I've got my main man, the lefty, Kendall McKee. Soccer Card Strategy Show, episode 6.
Episode not enough.
Wait. Five. Episode 5. Did I get this wrong? I got my own rule. I messed up my own rule.
Oh, no, Paul.
I gave you so much crap when you and Andy filled in for me about getting the episode correct. And then I got my own episode wrong. Episode 5 of the Soccer Card Strategy Show. Sorry, Kendall. Good to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Things are kind of wild over here. We went to a wedding last weekend, and a lot of people have come down with COVID from the wedding.
Oh, no.
We haven't, but everybody we were with has come down with it. So it's kind of like, okay. And then, it is what it is, you know, like.
That's the world we're all living in.
At this point, you know, if you go out into a public meeting, you just know you're susceptible to it, you know?
Yeah, apparently. So, well, that, I, you know, obviously we all hope that you stay healthy. And I'm wondering, are you feeling the love? Because we've been getting a lot of love on this, about this show, the flagship show, Sports Card Strategy Show, and all the other individual shows that make up the network. Yeah, there's the shirt. Love the shirt. For those of you who haven't had your t-shirt yet, I apologize. They're going to get to you sooner rather than later. Well, actually, maybe later rather than sooner, I'll be honest, because I'm trying to get better material. Like, I'm trying to get more breathable material. Kendall's
wearing a
shirt. They're nice, but they're a little bit thick. Yeah. So we're going to try to get this next round. We're going to get some more breathable material. My guy Jay over at PWCC, when I met him at the National, he's like, hey, let me put you in touch with my friend, or, you know, my contact who does these shirts, and maybe he can hook you up. And so I'm working with him to see if we can get some
nice way of saying, like, yo.
It was a nice way of saying, like, hey, thanks for the shirt, but yeah. But okay, but my point was, when I started this whole conversation, was, are you feeling the love? Because we have had so many comments, whether it be on YouTube or social media, or just direct emails to me, about how people love the show. I mean, I knew we were the best sports card podcast out there, but people are actually now saying that, which makes me feel like I'm not a total blowhard for saying that beforehand. So I think we're getting out there, we're getting better, and we're building this audience. And thank you, everybody, for your support. But Kendall, yeah. I want to make sure you're feeling that, because I am feeling that.
I am feeling it. You know, I have people message me on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, just asking me questions about prospects or soccer cards or stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, how did you find me? And they're like, oh, it's always the Sports Card Strategy Show every time, you know. And so that's pretty cool. So whatever you're doing, Paul, to get our name out there, keep doing that.
It's a team effort, because, like, you and I were in a fantasy. This is not a football show. We're going to get back to soccer. I mean, technically it's a football show. If you live in Europe, you call it football. But yeah, we were in a fantasy football draft this week with just some great friends that we've met this year from creating sports card content together. And I think it's a team effort. I think it's like people learning about the show just through making friends and being nice to people and asking people to listen. And yeah, I mean, we're just going to keep doing that.
Yeah. I think it's when I was on the, so I got on Andy's Card Quest live stream during the draft, you know, when it was like 4 a.m. for you. So props. Yep. You still recovering, watching by
you.
The way.
I was listening to you. Yeah.
And he was just like, it was kind of funny. Like, Andy was talking like he wasn't a part of it. And I was just like, interesting. You know, like, he was just like, yeah, you guys are doing some great stuff over there, blah, blah, blah. I was like, Andy, you're like
You're like on the team, bro.
You're like 25% of what we're doing here.
Andy, you're on the team. You're on the team.
I think he was trying to, you know, just kind of.
Yeah, I think. He said some really nice things. I heard what he said.
He did.
I couldn't talk because I was gonna wake up my whole family. But yeah, it was cool. It's been fun. So, let's talk some soccer, man. This is your show. I'm happy to be here with you, because I like to learn from you, as does the rest of the audience. And I know you like to learn from the audience as well. Like Southern Soccer Idiot, if you're out there, shout out. There's a lot of knowledgeable people in the audience, and like guys have been, I'm not going to mention everyone's name, but there's been multiple people. I wrote about it on nooffseason.com today in a blog. Multiple people have said more soccer content. We love the soccer content. So we're here for that. And, I'll let you do your thing here, Kendall. I'm gonna kind of perform my normal role here, but let you do most of the analysis. Before we get into some of the topics that you and I outlined for the show today, I want to give a shout out to a guy named Fred C, who I met at the National at PF Chang's, Tropicana Casino, PF Chang's at the National. We were sitting next to each other and we just started talking. Everyone that was in Atlantic City that week was there for the National. So he DM'd me on IG, said, "I've been listening to the show," and he sent me a picture of a Diego Maradona PSA 7 1979 Panini Calciatori card. And I wanted to ask you, for on behalf of Fred C, at the beginning of the show, because he's such a good guy, his question is, what do you think about vintage soccer as an investment? And so you can take most of the show to think about this and answer it at the end as we go through our topics. You don't have to take this one yet, but I thought you probably already have a take on, like, I know you have a take on vintage baseball, but do you have a take right now on this particular card or vintage soccer overall as an investment, how it compares to maybe vintage other sports?
It is different, I think. And it probably, because it has a larger target market, but I would say less dollars invested are going towards that. You know, like, it's for instance, you know, Maradona has exponentially more fans in the world than, Mickey Mantle, which is strange because in our world, Mickey's like the guy, you know, but like Maradona has multiple nations that know his name, you know, like people don't speak English or Spanish and they know his name, you know, like, and he's more of like a public figure in people's lives than Mickey Mantle would be. Also, Maradona had like this crazy, like, lifestyle that was kind of
like a Babe Ruth lifestyle.
Yeah, he was like a combination of Babe Ruth and Escobar. Like, he was just out there, you know, getting in trouble for like crack and, or, you know, it's just wild. Like, he lived just a wild life. And honestly, I was surprised he made it as far as he did. I think he had a heart attack at a game one time for, like, in the stands for being so excited at a game. He had a heart attack in the booth, like, just a wild dude. But I would say, like, the vintage soccer market, I think, is not quite there yet. Like, it's an interesting play right now because, especially where we are at, the card market is not mature yet. I mean, you're still seeing stickers move for about the same or more as like a card, and maybe that stays the same, but I don't think it does. You know, like, I think stickers will kind of move to be kind of more like we see printing plates in modern card collecting. You know, I think there'll be kind of like an element that people either hold really high or really low. Like, it'll just be kind of one of those things that's like a subculture of soccer cards eventually. But then there's also this interesting element of like sticker collectors, because there's like that World Cup sticker collection, you know, thing that's been going on forever. And maybe that's just a different zone. Like, maybe that's just like a different form of collecting. And, you know, like how Other sports have like for instance, there's brake groups out there that just brake helmets. You know, like they just take you get into a brake for a certain team, and then there's like this big box, and they pull a helmet out of it, and it's just like one of the authentic helmets of, you know, the Cowboys or something. So like, I think maybe there's just, maybe they can coexist. But what I'm saying is like, I think there's significant money right now going into modern soccer cards that will pump the market in the next 2 to 3 years, especially after this World Cup, especially as these American dollars get invested into soccer, especially as it becomes more and more mainstream here. The MLS just had a deal with Apple TV. There's going to be no blackouts and no blackouts, no restrictions. You can watch any game, anytime, completely live. I think that's going to really juice the sport. You know, if Apple does anything in America, whatever they're backing, it's popular, even if it's not very good. You know, like they did they've done Baseball Night in America on Friday nights, where they've showcased two games from Apple TV, and it's really good quality, but the commentators are not good at all. And so it's like, but it's still like people are watching it. Because it's Apple, you know, like, so
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point. I like a lot of what you said about like, how do the stickers fit in? What's investable, what's not? I think there's a lot to that will shake out over the next 2 years. I agree. So the
I'm also
last
not Diego... trying to have a crystal ball here, you know, like,
yeah,
there's going to be some players like Mbappe's sticker is probably going to be valued at a good rate. You know, for most
sticker. 2016 foot sticker.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The one where his
quarantine Jean.
Yeah, so that one that'll probably be valuable probably for the next foreseeable future. You know,
yeah. But that's expensive,
right? I don't see all of a sudden that just dropping in value.
Yeah.
You know, and so for instance, this Maradona PSA 7.
So let me chime in real quick. The last sale of that. PSA 7 that I can find was July 3rd, so a couple months ago, for $2,108, 32 bids.
Yeah, I mean, see, people are willing to shell some decent coin for a Maradona card, especially authentic and graded. You know, like he's a goat.
Yep.
You know, when we look at goats from other sports, you know that's.
So I've asked some of my friends here in Spain that are from the UK. About I just say like what like who's the GOAT of soccer, like who is the GOAT, and Maradona's is always in the top three. Mm-hmm. So and then typically Messi and Ronaldo are also mentioned in the and these are guys that are like in their 40s that have followed soccer for, you know, their entire lives, and they're learned it from their grandfathers and such. So yeah, I mean, you're
Pele,
right,
probably
Pele is in there for sure. Those are kind of the four. Maybe they'll toss in like a fifth or sixth guy from kind of their home, like the best player from their favorite league or their favorite club or country or whatever.
And then Harry Kane,
horrible. I can't do a British accent very well. All right, so Fred C, shout out to him. Thank you for the question. Great. This is a topic that we need to hit on more, and we will. Today, we're going to talk about modern soccer, though, more in the rest of the show. And Fred also corrected us. He was our Tony Reale, if you will. He corrected our on the last episode of the flagship show. I said that Jordan and LeBron each played with each other in 2003. Apparently, Fred says they didn't. So he says they missed each other by 1 year. And so I haven't fact-checked.
Yeah, LeBron would have been drafted in 2003, which would have been in June.
Yeah, that's true. And then he would have started the 2003-2004 season.
Summer League,
so,
yeah.
So I guess that means that Jordan... Okay, this lines up. Fred's right, because I was thinking... So I was interning with the Pistons starting in 2001, and I remember I was at Jordan's first preseason game at the Palace back with the Wizards. So that would have been 2001-2002, and then Jordan played 2 years, right? So he played 2002-2003. LeBron didn't start till 2003-2004, so that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you add Kobe into it, obviously there's significant overlap.
Kobe overlapped both of them, right? So Kobe, yeah.
Kobe was significantly overlapped in both of them, so.
Yeah, he was in his prime while Jordan was at the end and LeBron was at the beginning. So exciting time. All right, thanks, Fred. That's enough basketball talk. Okay, so Kendall, let's just go down the list, man. We'll try to hit everything. We may or may not. But first item is notables from the Premier League start. What do you got for us?
Well, first off, I wanted to say, many condolences to the English nation who lost the Queen yesterday. You know, that's a big deal for, I mean, she's been there forever, man. Like, she's 70 something years on the throne there. And I know it doesn't quite hit us in the way that it hits, English nationals, but at the same time, I do want to raise condolences for that. I know the Premier League season is postponing this weekend. They're taking all their games off this weekend. When the news hit, Arsenal and Manchester United were at halftime for their Europa League games. And when they came back out, they had a long moment of silence for the Queen. So God save the Queen. Interesting to see where that goes in the future, considering she's been on the throne through so many different, like, world power Eras. Changes. Yeah. So interested to see where that goes in the future. But I'll just leave it at that. I didn't want to go without saying it, but at the same time, I'm American, so I don't really have a whole lot. I don't know a whole lot. But the notable Premier League starts have really been crazy. You know, like, honestly, we'll just start with Haaland. You know, like, how do you not talk about him? You know, like, when he starts, you know, he's on Red Bull, and then he comes over to Borussia, and then, you know, he's doing things that you've seen players do before, but maybe not quite at the level or his age, or, you know, like, he's also just a massive human with, you know, looks like a Viking out there. Like, just like, you could pretty much put him in different clothes and he would be like on the Viking show. I mean, he's just kind of like this guy that you don't really expect to look like a fantastic soccer player. And then you know, in the off season, you know, he gets this massive contract from Manchester City and he comes over and you're like, I think everyone kind of expected a level of regression. Maybe not because he's not world class, but I think people expected the Pulisic situation that's very common in the EPL, where like great players go to the EPL and they're just like with other great players, and then their coach doesn't prefer them or whatever, and then they're like down on the chart. They've never not been the guy on the team. Their form goes down. You know, like, I kind of expected some of that from Haaland, and that's just not the case. The guy's scoring at a record level.
The case as of now is 10 goals and one assist in 6 games.
Yeah, I mean, that is nutty. I mean, that's like that's like record-setting like level here. And think about how many great, great, great players have been through the Premier League over, you know, the League One or whatever they called it before it was the Premier League, the top level of English soccer forever. You know, like, and Haaland is doing some things that we've never seen before. And he's huge. You know, like, I think that adds a huge, like, this lower element.
492 pounds. He's 22 years old. 6'4", 192.
I mean, the guy's huge. So I get like,
Gabby's like 5'3". So yeah. if they ever face off in a Champions League final or
12 inches apart,
semifinal or something, that'd be pretty funny.
I mean, you see, he has like strong Ibra vibes for me. And I think it goes beyond, you know, the long hair and like being from Scandinavia. I think it goes beyond that. I think he just has that persona, but at the same time, like, nicer. So like, he's not like just, you know, just the just relationally the worst human, you know. And so but Ibra definitely has his space and his ups as well. I can't go without giving him some chops as well. But Haaland's had a great start. Arsenal has been really surprising, Paul. Like, just every for the past like 10, 15 years, as I've been watching the Premier League, Arsenal really hasn't, they've always underperformed from as long as I've been watching the game. Now, there was a period of time, like Thierry Henry days, where Arsenal was the best. And they were filthy. They had like the immaculate season, you know. That was before I started watching soccer. I'm a little younger than, you know, it's most English soccer fans. But every time, everything that I've known has been fourth place Arsenal. They've been in fourth place, cement it, you know, like that's as high as they're getting. They're a top six team, but no further. And I've been pleasantly surprised with what I'm seeing there. And I think it's fun to see a guy that we love in Matt Turner go play goal for them in this week in his Europe game. He suited up for his first Arsenal start. So that was really cool to watch. You know, Arsenal they won 2-1, which was a fun game to watch. But interesting, there's some guys on that team that are just fun. And I don't think they end up finishing that high. Like, I think they'll probably have like a session in the middle of the year. They'll come off a break. Maybe they'll have an injury or something, and they'll just kind of be a little more stale. But right now, dude, they are flying high. Odegaard is playing super good. They've got studs on the back line, and they're just ready to compete again. So
let me ask you this. So they have to finish third to get into the Champions League next year? How does that work?
So you have to have third to be in automatically. Then there's one playoff spot for the Champions League. And there is some other like ways you can get in, but that's the regular thing. The top three.
The reason I ask is because you and I hit on this on the Sports Card Strategy show once upon a time briefly. It does impact, I believe, cards for guys like Saka, who scored a goal in their loss to Man U Saturday. Man U, Antony scored at once, and Rashford scored two goals. We'll talk about Antony in a second. But Saka's cards are less investable to me than even a guy like Adeyemi, just only because he doesn't really have investable tops Chrome, because he's not in the Champions League. So he's got Panini cards, but his Panini cards like Prism and Mosaic don't necessarily have the RC logo. They don't necessarily have good looking autos like tops, and tops is kind of like the Bowman for soccer. Like it's tops is to soccer as Bowman is to baseball prospecting to a certain extent. And so you can elaborate on that or disagree if you want, but I just think it, the reason I ask about Arsenal is because you've got a guy like Saka, and then I would assume they've got some other prospects coming up through their organization. You're going to want their first card. You're going to want their first auto. You're going to want that. And so it just seems to me like Topps has had, I may be speaking like kind of as a soccer rookie here, or like a soccer newbie of sorts, but it does seem like Saka is at a disadvantage card wise because he doesn't have a card manufacturer. Because that card manufacturer has the Premier League license, but not the Champions League license. So I think you do have to pay attention to that with soccer card investing. Why would somebody in Bundesliga be more investable than somebody in the Premier League? That could be a reason why, right?
Yeah, I think the Bundesliga cards are wildly investable because of all the young talent that's there. So like Topps has done a great job of just putting out Bundesliga sets. I've had fun ripping the Topps Chrome Bundesliga. It's been pretty fun. Getting some decent U.S. men's national team players as well down there, which is fun for me. Like, that's my main collect in card collecting. But yeah, Saka is, I mean, I don't think he's not investable, but I do think his cards are not premium. Yeah, the guy that I'm really looking forward to on Arsenal's team is Eddie Nketiah or Nketiah. The N is silent, and he scored, I believe, twice in Europe this week. And then Gabriel Jesus is also on Arsenal, and you cannot look at this Brazilian national team and not have him be somebody that's investable for the next couple of months. I think you could probably make a pretty quick turn on Gabriel, especially because he's going to be involved at some level on this Brazilian national team. Now, I would stay away from guys like Odegaard and Zinchenko, just because like they probably do have cards and they probably have nice cards, but they're probably not guys that have a huge following, and guys are not super excited about them long term. I mean, they have guys on this team that are fine, but I don't know. I would just reach towards those two guys. Like Gabriel and Eddie here, if I was looking at guys on Arsenal's team that could appreciate over the next couple of months. I mean, Arteta's got them in a really cool spot. He's given the club some juice after Wenger like just basically took their fan base to the ground slowly. So,
interested to see what Southern Soccer Idiot has to say about these topics so far. He did chime in and say he and his friends call Haaland the rambling wreck. Always seems off balance, bouncing between defenders, but you can't stop the guy. So Southern Soccer Idiot, good to have you on. We'd love to have you chime in with whatever value you want to add here. So Kendall, one of the big storylines was Leeds. How are they doing and why are they relevant right now?
It's like almost best case scenario for Leeds right out the gate. You know, Jesse Marsh has put them in a really, like, you know, with Arteta, he's given them juice. You know, like Leeds is a classic Premier League team. And interestingly, Haaland always wanted to play for Leeds. His dad played for Leeds and he grew up a Leeds fan. So that would be really, really interesting down the road to see. It would have been fun to kind of the money wouldn't have happened, but like imagine all this stuff is happening. You've got Brendan Aaronson and all this juice with Tyler Adams, and you've got the American Jesse Marsh team like coming together. You've got all these guys like syncing with Moreno, and then all of a sudden you add Haaland on top of that playing for his favorite team. That would be insane. But a classic Premier League team here. That it has roots in deep, deep tradition and fans. Like I have a buddy from back home that there was like this lore. I don't know if it was actually a true thing or not, but we all knew that he didn't have a dad. We all knew that his dad was English. And like, there was this thing that nobody really asked about, but we knew that his dad was incarcerated, and we thought potentially he was like a part of the Leeds hooligans. And so I don't know if you know what that is, but so basically instead of gangs in England and or overseas, they have hooligan clubs that just follow soccer clubs around and then beat each other up. If Paul, you've got to go watch Green Street Hooligans. Not a great movie acting wise, phenomenal movie soccer wise. Great take on some hooliganism, but not that I support hooliganism, because I support the Queen. We've already stated that. Leeds are, I think they will fall from grace. I really do. I think there will be hard times this year for this Leeds team, and we've seen flashes of that. It seems like they're either all in and all in sync, or they're not at all. And I think that seems to be the emotional like way that Jesse Marsh comes to games. He's either fully in or like he's just taking the day off mentally, it looks like. You know, and of course, we're not in those deep conversations. We don't really know. And to speculate on something like that as not even a beat writer is really speculatory. So I don't want to go without saying like, you know, this is all speculation, but I will say that Brendan Aaronson is for real and he is the truth. You know, like everybody was just like, no, he couldn't do, you know, like what he was doing. He comes from a youth system in America. It's not going to work. He gets to Philly because of a, like an injury or a red card. He actually does well there, goes to the next level, goes to Red Bull, overseas, that's going well for him, and then all of a sudden he starts getting this attention. he's right alongside Pulisic in that Monaco game. Pulisic slots one to him instead of taking it on, you know, and you just see this kid growing into like being a national superstar. And he's got this grit element that is always the best American players. They're never like saucy. They're never, you know, the most powerful. They're never technique wise, you know, just incredible. But the best American players always have this grit that is like Q cannot stop it. If you think about Landon Donovan, you think about Clint Dempsey, you think about even Pulisic in that, like these guys will literally, like there was this famous quote by Dempsey of like, "You don't know where I'm from, man. Like, you don't know where I'm from." And the guy was like, "You're right. I have no idea where Nacogdoches, Texas is. I have no idea." And I'll just tell you, it's in the sticks out there, man. Like, it is way out there. But Clint, you know, like, had that attitude, and so did Landon. And that set us up for really good success, you know. And I'm sure that there's other Americans before that had the same attitude. But that seems to be the Americans that do well on a national level have this unrelenting, "I am going to kick your butt and you're not going to be able to stop me." And that's what Brendan Aaronson has. He's a grinder. He's pressuring the ball all the time. He even pressured a keep, the Chelsea keep a couple of weeks ago, pressured him into giving up a ball like in the box and then got a goal out of it. You know, like that's,
yeah,
you
saw know, that.
Like, that's,
I think Americans are going to get more involved potentially because of this hot start that Aaronson and Leeds and, you know, Leeds, Aaronson and Adams, Jesse Marsh, obviously the manager there, have put together. I think that if Jesse Marsh could appear somehow in season 3 of Ted Lasso, that would be phenomenal for every American U.S. men's national team member's card value. Yeah. Yeah. But okay, so that was kind of what I was hoping you were going towards, is like the American soccer collector investor market could grow as a result of this success in the Premier League, even though it doesn't seem like a flash in the pan, but it's very new in its infancy right now as we're talking about it. Which leads me to another team with another American on it. Obviously Pulisic is not off to as good of a start with Chelsea. Talk about that real quick. Where do you see that going for both Chelsea and for Pulisic? Is that going in the same direction or a different direction? What kind of impact do you think that'll have on cards?
Well, I think potentially one of the best things that could be, okay, let me back up. Let me get my brain before my mouth here. One of the best things for Pulisic is this coaching change. They got their coach got fired this week. They immediately bring in Graham Potter, who has shown over and over to take little and make a lot. You know, every time he's like taken a small club and made them relevant. Brighton and Hove Albion have been relevant because of Potter. And so people are making funny memes and jokes about him being, you know, an ancestor of Harry Potter, and that's why he's doing so well in England and blah, blah, blah. But this guy just got hired at Chelsea. And so it's really exciting because I think now Pulisic is going to get a little more run, because this coach is going to see, he's going to throw it out there and be like, "All right, Christian, what are you going to do? You know, like, I don't know you. You know, let's see what happens. You know, maybe they have past relationship, and, you know, I don't really know the in-depth relationships. But what I do know is this team has a ton of talent and has underperformed. And I never know how to pronounce the old manager's name, so I'm just going to say the old manager. He was a prick and a half, man. Like, he just wasn't a good culture fit. Of course, like, I feel like Chelsea's always got prick managers. You know, but Aubameyang is a class starter up there, like class forward. They've got Sterling, who's,
and he just transferred there.
Yeah, so he transferred there because, and one of, like, his old coach was the guy who they just sacked, you know. And so
gotcha.
one of his famous, or one of his memeable quotes right now is like, "I can't wait to play with him again." And they played 59 minutes together before he was sacked. So Nice. Not even a full game.
All right. Oh, so for
P-List, reading, point I was is you reading think this, you might comment.
You think you might see Pulisic getting some more time there because of the new manager?
Yeah, I was kind of, I mean, honestly, from a card perspective, you know, the past couple of weeks I've told you Pulisic is a buy. And yep. I think with this new manager, I'm excited for Christian because he'll be playing, and I think that's good for American soccer. But at the same time, I was kind of excited for him not to play until the World Cup because I think his, you know, like his stock would just continue to fall. And then I would just keep, you know, keep saying that's a buy. And then at the World Cup, you know, everybody would be like, oh, yeah, this Christian guy is really good, you know. So, like, then it would go back up again.
But, yeah, exactly.
No, but I think it's good for American soccer and good for cards in general that one of the most investable guys is on the field. Like, no matter what, in our country, Pulisic cards moves better than most other players. You know, like, he doesn't have to be the best. He doesn't have to be, you know, I'm sure Southern Soccer Idiot's going to say, like, you know, Christian's not the best player, and I'm like, that's fine. But in the card shows that I go to, Christian is the one that moves first. You know, like, it doesn't, you could have a Ansu Fati, and then you could have an Antony, and you can have a Pulisic, and more people are going to ask about that Pulley guy. You know, they're going to be like, yeah. Oh, that Pulley guy, you know, blah, blah. Or they're going to call him, there's this name that I heard the other day in Kentucky that I was like, oh my gosh, that's the most white person thing I've ever heard.
All right, so Southern Soccer Idiot says Pulisic needs to move to a club where he knows that he'll get more playing time, maybe back to Germany.
I would agree.
So we're going to talk
Dortmund
about
would be insane Germany.
We're going to talk about Germany in a second. We got another question from Germany. We've got that on our agenda, but we got one more team to talk about in the Premier League for now, and that's Man U. They started off pretty poorly, but it looks like they're pulling it together, and they got Antony in the lineup who just scored a goal the other day, along with Rashford's two goals that I mentioned earlier. So, Man U investability, like, where do you see Antony? Is this a sell because he just did the transfer and is now? Like, there's a hype cycle. Does it work like other sports like that, or is Antony still a buy and a hold potentially because he's just so young and has future? Like, obviously the World Cup with Brazil is a thing coming up, and future opportunity to shine with Man U. Where do you see Man U overall?
Well, first off, sorry, I just this Southern Soccer Idiot is just, you know, he's a fun guy. But Antony, this is a tough one for me, Paul, because emotionally, like, I'm involved, but I have to try to take a step back and look at it. Because in any other sport or in any other, you know, like, especially in baseball, you know, that's where I cut my teeth, card collecting wise, like, this would be the time where I would say sell it all, no matter what. Yep. You're going to take the crystallize it and move it into another player that's going to come up. Antony is not going to be the next Ronaldo, you know, and so, like, just keep moving it, roll the bag. Here's though where I'm questioning that at the moment. Antony finally makes the move that we've been talking about for a couple of months. He gets to Manchester United. Ajax really held on for the last minute, the highest dollar for him, which was great. It's a smart move by them. And honestly, Manchester United needed to do something. They were stuck treading water, and it was not pretty. And then Antony comes in and breathes this fresh life into this team. They've got issues. Manchester United has issues. This is a club. This is a, you know, like, one of my friends calls them a finished club because, like, they are what they were at their highest is behind them. And what's weird is, like, the ownership doesn't really care about the fans. Like, you can kind of look, like, they don't really go to games. I think it's an American ownership group. They're just in it for, you know, the capital that it raises, and they're just throwing players out there that are going to be marketable. And I mean, like, Sancho is so marketable, and he comes over to Manchester United and he's just like a flop, you know, like. And they did the Christian Eriksen thing, which is really cool. The guy dies on the field, and then now he plays for Manchester United. Like, what a story that is. And then Ronaldo's back, you know, and then he's playing in Europe. But then they lose. You know, they mm-hmm. lose to a team that they were like, I think they were favored like minus 600, and they lose. And it wasn't even really a competitive game. And but so with Anthony or with Antony, I think this might be a situation, and this happened. This is kind of around the J-Rod situation that people are asking me right now. They're like, what do we do with J-Rod?
Yeah.
And I think Antony is in Antony is in a similar state. Because I think what you could do is if you have bulk Antony, you could reposition into a really nice card right now. Like you could sell 95% of your collection and put it into one really nice Antony auto, graded, you know, like something like that. Similar with J-Rod, sell all your Chrome first PSA 10s and stuff like that, and go buy like a really nice Bowman. Because I think this guy is going to be around for a while and he'll have a following, and he's so young on this incredible Brazil team that I've said previously that I don't think he'll be a starter at the World Cup right out of the gate, because I think you look across this team and this team has attacking options all over the field. You know, like, we already talked about Gabriel Jesus. You know, Neymar would probably be the odd man out right now, which is weird. But I think Antony and Richarlison coming off that bench is deadly. You know, like when you've got guys that are the top scorers for their teams in the Prem are coming out as subs, you know, like that's scary. You know, like we have on America's roster, we have guys that are starting that aren't even on the field, you know, like that our main player is not on the field. You know? Exactly. So I think Antony gets a decent run at the World Cup, and I think he does some things where people start opening their eyes to him. And not that he's as unheard of as he was before, but this guy could be really good.
All right, cool. So Bundesliga, we want to talk about a couple of different guys, but we did have a question come in. Kendall, pretend you didn't see Southern Soccer Idiots reply to Kudo. Okay. Kudo asks, Kudo, first appearance on the show. Thank you for commenting and watching, of course. Do you think the Topps Bundesliga Tier 1 2022 is worth a buy at $100? Kendall, what is your opinion without Southern Soccer Idiots' influence? And then we're going to show Southern Soccer Idiots' reply because we respect his knowledge. Because
we respect it. I like some of the Bundesliga checklists that they've come out with over the past year or so. Because they have players in Germany, and they do have players in Germany that are highly marketable and will be on great teams. You know, like with the like you had Lewandowski out there that's in the checklist. You had Haaland. You had Jude Bellingham is still over there. Gio Reyna is a guy that we've always hyped, and we'll probably talk about later.
Adeyemi and Tillman too, right?
Yeah,
are they in the checklist.
Tillman probably is. Might have moved to Rangers already. Let me look. No, he's not in the checklist.
It's weird.
I gotta. How do you spell Adeyemi?
Adeyemi.
He's not in.
So
there.
while you're,
he's not in this, there either.
We'll show. This is Southern Soccer Idiots reply too. He just doesn't like the checklist. He also doesn't like the quality and the appearance of the cards.
Yeah.
He does say that it's a quality and appearance of the cards is a big improvement from last year's edition, but you just have low chances of hitting anything significant. So agree, so disagree.
I would agree with that. Here's my thing with Tier 1. I think it's a weird product that is overpriced. And I have never seen a card come out of it that I'm like, I gotta have that. I think the regular autos in this product look better than the higher up the checklist autos. You know, like RPAs. I mean, this is a take, by the way. This is a hot take.
Go.
RPAs need to be reserved for football only. Like NFL.
Otherwise, you're getting like a weird sliver of mesh from somewhere that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. The only other thing that I think is interesting in terms of an RPA is when they put like a shoe in there from a basketball player. Like that's First off, that's wild.
The car's like this thick. Or a glove from like an F1 driver, something like that.
Yeah. You know, like I think they do generally have their place, but I think RPOs specifically are marketed from a football context. Mm-hmm. Like you see RPOs going for the most money in football.
Yeah.
American
he means
football.
RPAs. Just you're just one vowel off. It's okay.
What did I say? RPOs?
RPOs.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. RPAs. That's true. And so when I look at this top tier or tier one product, no matter, I mean, we're talking about the Bundesliga here, but I've seen a bunch of tier one products that I'm just not excited about. There's a couple of fringe products that are more expensive than other products. Like for instance, like Triple Threads is this way with me. Tier one is this way with me. The Fleer metallic or whatever is this way with me. Yeah. Like they're trying to make a National Treasures-esque product with like a limited release. You know, you get 4 to 8 cards, blah, blah, blah. I'm not for it. I just say no, thank you. What I would do, kudo here, is if you're wanting a Bundesliga product that is a fun product, and is fairly cheap, is Topps Chrome Bundesliga dropped, I think like in mid July or something like that. And when I started buying the boxes, they were at $70 a piece. But you can buy a box right now for $59.95. And so it has a lot of the same players. The checklist is honestly better, I think. And the autos are still cool. There's no RPAs or, you know, in there. But at the same time, like, that's really not what soccer cards are trying to do anyway. You know, like, you can get a Gio Reyna or Makoko or Adeyemi or, you know, like, those guys all just happen to be on Dortmund. But you can also get a Jude Bellingham who's not on Dortmund in this checklist but is on Dortmund. And you can get Lewandowski. You can get even guys like Julian Green in this set, which is weird because he was like the guy in 2011 that we thought that America was going to hang their hat on. But anyway, I would much rather go with the Topps Chrome Bundesliga rather than the tier one, especially if you can get it for like $40 less for the hobby box. I mean, come on, you know, like,
yeah. And Chrome's a more liquid brand, right? I mean, if it's a better checklist, cheaper price, more liquid brand, seems like all things align. That's a good call, Kendall. Good call. So, kudo. Thanks for the question. Kendall, Bundesliga topics. I wanted to ask you about Gio Reyna's return to action and how you feel about him these days.
Hold on. We just got it. We got to show this. Boom.
This makes you feel good, huh? This is okay. Like, so just so everybody knows Southern, what Tim was talking about.
When me and Southern are on the same page, I feel juiced.
Southern's let's take 30 seconds and talk about this before you answer my Gio Reyna question. So Southern Soccer Idiot, super knowledgeable, loyal to the program. We appreciate you. We learn from you and we kind of collaborate based off of your feedback. We don't know who you are. Like Southern Soccer Idiot could be like Kim Kardashian. Southern Soccer Idiot could be Barack Obama. Southern Soccer Idiot could be,
that'd be wild.
Yeah. Could be like, who's a big name in the hobby? Could be like Nat Turner.
It could be Chase Grimm.
It could be Chase Grimm.
Just trolling me the whole time.
It could be Andy Kaysen, who like Andy, like, like moonlights as Football Card Quest, but actually he's Southern Soccer Idiot.
That's funny. No, I really do appreciate Southern what you bring to the table. Really knowledgeable guy. Has a lot. It's really good for me to balance my takes because sometimes I get really ingrained on a player that he gives me different perspective on, which is good. You always need those kind of people.
And we don't have any problem with your anonymity, by the way. It's totally fine. He says, I like this. Based on my current weight, you can call me Fat Turner. That's definitely would love to have Southern Soccer.
Do you have any Matt Turners?
We could have you on the show, SSI, and we could just not show your face, and you could use some sort of voice voice software to disguise your voice, you could stay completely anonymous and just drop your knowledge on the show. That'd be pretty entertaining. Anyway, sorry, Kendall. Congratulations on the compliment. Back to Gio Reyna.
My love for Gio Reyna has not wavered, which is hard because he's been injured a lot, you know, and I'm just like, man, if this guy could get some run, this guy could get some run, this guy could get some run, you know, like he is, he's a guy that I think is undervalued in ways, but a very big name. And I think that typically, creates a perfect storm in the card universe. You know, like if you have a big name that people know, and then also you have a card that's valuable, sometimes it doesn't even matter what you're doing. People are going to buy your card. You know, like Tom Brady's cards were still selling when he was on the Masked Singer. You know, like, I don't know if that's really what was happening or not, but that's what I like to believe. I've also heard that he had marital issues and there went to go figure it out in the Bahamas. But anyway, people are still buying Brady cards because he's Brady, you know, like, and by no means am I comparing.
Are you saying Gio Reyna is Tom Brady? What?
I knew that was coming.
Where's Ziggy? No, get in
no,
here.
No, I'm not. Kendall. I am not saying that Gio Reyna is Tom Brady, but what I am saying is both of their names are recognizable to people that are marginal fans of the sport. Gio has the pedigree of being a talented athlete from Super Parents, you know, like that both of his parents played and they were both very good. And so when Gio came on the ranks at Dortmund, everybody was like, look out, this guy's super young, super good, big, strong body, very technical, you know, like there a couple things go right for Gio and his market is insane. And so he comes on this week in Champions League. And he's on the bench and I get this alert. I have this Twitter account that alerts me whenever any American is in either the starting 11 or a bench spot on any team in Europe, like any of them, which is crazy because some of the guys, I'm like, I never heard of this dude. How is this guy finding this on Twitter somewhere? But so he's just like tweeting, you know, like this guy's starting. Like, for instance, he's like Pulisic on the bench this week, blah, blah, blah. But I get this tweet right before the Dortmund game starts and they're like, Reyna back on the bench for the Champions League. And I'm like, great. You know, he's healthy. I mean, he's back in the, at least in the squad. Maybe he gets in first, you know, in the 60th, 70th minute and does some cool stuff. Well, Hazard pulls a hamstring in the 20th minute. And here comes Mr. Gio Savior Reyna. You know, he's just walking out there. And I'm like, oh, yes, sir. This guy's going to come on in an injury situation where, honestly, if you come on in an injury situation and do something good, you look like an absolute savior. You know, like, and I'm like, come on, Gio. He gets in the game. He has two assists that are nice. Nice Premier League assists. First Premier League brace by an American. Or Champions League brace assist brace by an American ever, by the way. Super cool. Plays fantastic. But one of my favorite things was this guy kind of gives him a little cheeky leg kick at one time. And he goes down. Jude Bellingham's over there as well. Him and Jude jump up and they look like they're going to mug this dude. You know, like Gio and Jude are shoulder to shoulder. And this dude, Gio and Jude both are big dudes. Like they both are like, you know, strong, tall, fit, you know, like probably taller and lankier than they will be in their future. But like this dude instantly looks like he's at a disadvantage. And I was like, okay, this is great. That means Jude has his back. That means the Dortmund faithful are running with Gio and he is a full on committed player in this team. And the only thing is he's got to find a starting spot. And so if Hazard has this hamstring injury, he could literally be one of the best Americans out there. And I know I've said that about Aaronson and I know I've said that about Gio, but Reyna is actually quite better than. See, I mean, I kind of am with him. I'm kind of with him. You know, like, I don't think Pulisic will fade into irrelevancy, but I will think he becomes the Michael Bradley of our team, where everybody's just like, oh man, this guy's on the field again. There could be that happen. Could be, if Pulisic doesn't keep getting favor with his teams. Now, I think it's a completely different scenario, and I think Reyna, Pulisic, and Aronson are filthy. Then you've also got McKinney, who's doing some awesome things, scoring in the Champions League as well for Juventus. Then you've got Tyler Adams is great doing. I wouldn't say he's investable. I wouldn't invest in Tyler Adams, but I would invest in Yunus Musa. That dude is filthy.
Let's go. He's been on the pitch for Valencia this year,
and he's been playing really good. I mean, like, one of my favorite things about these Americans that are coming in, Reyna will fade into irrelevancy if he doesn't stay healthy, for sure. But if he's healthy, this guy is incredible and probably one of the top three Americans. When he's healthy, probably already, which is kind of wild. The problem is he can't stay healthy right now, which if he does, it's going to be really nice for Kendall McKee's card collection. So. I would still say,
and anyone else listening right now, to go to noffseason.com/eBay and go bid on the Gio Reyna massive card that I have listed there. More on that in this week's upcoming sports card strategy show, episode 47 on Monday. But
is it your card?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go bid, bidding war. Let's go. All it's right. A big one, too. It's a big card.
I'm gonna go look at it real quick.
NoOffseason.com/eBay. Find the Gio Reyna. Go check it out right now, SSI. You guys, I want both of you to bid on it right now. Please. Okay. Kendall's talking U.S. men's national team. He was talking about Yunus Musa. He got sidetracked by...
Oh, I love this SSI's card, by the way.
...comment by Rain about Reyna. Kendall loves the card, everybody. Go bid. Anyway, it helps me with my budget as we move back to the United States. And no, everyone who's asking, I am not getting out of sports cards. I'm just liquidating momentarily so that I have a little bit more of a budget. I'll talk more about that on Monday. Okay. So Kendall, we can keep going through our agenda on the USMNT update. You were talking about Musa. Where do you see Musa's path towards potential relevance? Like, to me, he's still a very under the radar guy to invest in, mm-hmm. kind of a boom or bust type guy. But the fact mm-hmm. that he's playing in La Liga for Valencia consistently, and you said playing well, that's a big deal, right? I mean, we should be buying him, right?
Yes, to a degree. Here's the weird thing about some guys like Musa. Really similar with Tim Weah on the U.S. men's national team. They're incredible players that just never get the respect they deserve. And I don't know what that's for. I hope there's not some sort of racism element in that. That would be really, really sad. But they've always, like, both of these guys have always felt like they're undervalued. But then, like, when they do something awesome, you're like, wow, okay, here come their value is going to take off. And then it's still kind of it's just like there, you know. And I love Musa and I love watching him play. And there's some things that I've seen him do on the field that are world class. You know, like, there was this time where he had, like, the, you know, like, basically he was falling over and somehow had the like the balance of his body to, like, come through and, like, dribble, like, half of the I don't remember who we were playing at the time, but I remember messaging you and being like, dude, you've got to go watch this Musa play.
Yeah,
like, it was crazy. He didn't even do anything, but it was just like the class that came out of it was incredible. And I also think he's the kind of American player that people overlook. Because he's not fiery. He's not going to get up in your face. He's not the loudest talker. He's not McKinney. He's not Pulisic. He's not Aronson. Those guys are always in, you know, like, chirping at somebody. Musa's just going to do his job. And the other part is he doesn't really score goals. Like, Musa doesn't really score goals because he doesn't really get inside the box. He's an outside the box shooter if he's going to shoot. but he's okay. He's a really good passer. So
he's got some serious handles too.
Yeah. I mean, the technique is nuts, you know, but I think he's just going to play further and further back as he gets older rather than further and further forward. Like, I could see him eventually being a 6 or an 8. But it's a tough call. If I'm investing in Musa or Gio Reyna, I'm investing in Reyna. I really like Musa, and there's a lot. This is a kind of a guy that's going to be more real life soccer great than like fantasy soccer or card value soccer or anything like okay. that. Like, this guy is a really good teammate, a guy that's going to make teams really, really good. But it's a kind of a guy that's going to sit in the background a little bit, and not enough. Like, if you don't watch soccer, you're not going to know how good Yunus Musa is.
Yeah.
And so the only thing though is he's getting some attention from some pretty big clubs. Like, Juventus is calling on him, you know, that would up his value quite a bit. He gets in the Premier League and gets consistent minutes on the right wing. You know, like that could really do something for his value. But I just don't see him as a goal scoring threat. You know, and I see him more as like a, hey, let's bring consistency to the team. And those guys don't invest well.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Well, good perspective on that. So any other guys that we want to talk about from the U.S. men's national team? We've already hit on a couple as part of the Leeds conversation, and you've mentioned Weston McKennie, but we've got Pepe. We've got Josh Sargent, who I think you added to the agenda. We've got Tillman, who's in the Scottish League. And then Caden Clark has actually scored for the Red Bulls this season recently, mm-hmm. a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago. What do you got for all those guys?
Well, I'll start with Caden. I've watched him in person over the past couple of months. And
you have? Tell me more. That's my
guy. I saw him in Cincinnati when he came on for Red Bull. Overly just doesn't really look like he has favor with his teammates. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if he's not working hard. I don't know if they just think he's young. I don't know if they think he's not good enough. It could be a lot of those things. It could be, you know, like he's just not in practice with them most of the time. Maybe he's in side sessions a lot. You know, like, I don't really know what's going on. I know that there's been these bids coming from overseas, and they've loaned him back, and you know, so like, maybe it's just like, he's just not in favor with the coaching staff. He just doesn't look right. Not that he's not great, but he just doesn't look right. You're like, when Paxton Aaronson came on the field, it was just like, this guy's electric immediately. You know, like, you're just like, wow, this dude is all over the place. Got the gritty, you know, like, what? Caden mm-hmm. kind of looks a little soft and a little lost. You know, like, it seems like he needs a little confidence boost. A move away from New York could be good for him. And I even think going to a higher quality league would be good for him, okay. because like, he could show, yeah, I am a good player. I've just kind of fallen out of favor with my, you know, with my lineup and my coaching yeah. staff. Plus, Red Bull are really pushing towards there's 5 games left in the MLS before the playoffs, and Red Bull are like 4th in the standings. So, you know, like, they're not going to give time to a guy that needs minutes for the future. They're trying to win now. So that also is going to play into it. You know, maybe it takes a year or two before he gets solid minutes, but the guy's really young, has a chance. I would say I'm lower on him than I was preseason, because I thought he was going to be a starter on this Red Bull team rather than just a fringe player. But Tillman has played really great for the Rangers. He has done some really cool things as well. Tillman's move away from Bayern was probably the best thing that could have happened for him, especially when he left the German national team. I would assume that when he did that, he kind of burned a lot of bridges there. I would say that a lot of people were probably pretty upset with him. And he did that for his career, which I think he's going to be a 2026 World Cup squad member. I think he's on the fringe of this World Cup, but he's a guy that's a unique player as well. I would still say that he's like a kind of a flyer for me, because I think if he ends up being in this core of teams, it's weird because there's guys on the fringe of this core team. And the core team, I'm saying McKinney, Musa, Adams, Pulisic, Aronson. And then you've got these fringe guys that are like Reyna, Weah,
Did you say Pepe. Musa's on the fringe, right?
No, Musa's pretty then? Stabilized. Yeah.
Okay.
Pepe is on the fringe. You've got, I mean, pretty much all these guys that we're talking about. You've got Tillman, Josh Sargent. You've got
Clark, obviously.
Fringe. Obviously fringe for the United States. But there's just a lot of guys that are trying to fit on the last couple of spots on this roster. Yeah. And Tillman, I think, fits a role on this team that's not needed right now. Like, we're going to have to take a bunch of flyers in the forward position. And I think he is not a nine. I think Brandon Vasquez is an interesting guy right now. He's in the top five in terms of the Golden Boot rankings in the MLS, and his cards have like exponentially gone up, and he doesn't really have any super fancy ones either. It's just kind of like a bunch of color parallels of Brandon Vasquez. But Brandon Vasquez is probably going to get called up in September. And I'm trying not to be biased because he's an FC Cincinnati striker. But, I mean, he scored like 16 goals this year, and he's as tall as Haaland. You know, so like this dude's super big, has great feet, and just kind of needs a chance. And if there's a chance, and if he does well in September, oh my gosh, his cards are going to go nuts, because the people are waiting for a nine. And PFOC has played really well in this past couple of months. Josh Sargent has come on strong. I think he fully, when he changed positions, or when the team changed positions, whatever that talk was like, he fully took a step back in terms of the United States men's national team view. I remember I saw him live one time in St. Louis, and it was crazy because he's from St. Louis, and a lot of people believe that the St. Louis MLS team in their first year will sign him as their first DP, which is a designated player. But that'll probably be next year or the year after that. But like, he was thought to be like the guy for a while that we were really going to look forward to. And then he changed position at Cardiff or at Coventry. And wait, which one of those is he at? Coventry. Yeah. He's with the Canaries. But they're in the championship and he's ripping goals. You know, he takes a step back and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh crap, now we got to look at this again, because scoring goals gets attention in this game. You know, like, good hold-up play doesn't get the media's attention. That's what I was talking about, Musa. Musa's right. Great at hold-up play, great at facilitation, great at crossing, you know, like great at being a good, great teammate. Sargent is not that way. The whatever they call him, flying tomato or whatever, that dude is scoring goals like nobody's business. And when he took a spot, when he went to the winger instead of up top, you know, that took a step back, but now he's scoring goals, so maybe that's going to be a step forward. And that striker position at the United States men's national team level is a confusing part right now. And we just it's waiting to be seen what kind of flows out of these September call-ups. You know, there's going to be two games in September, and we'll see. There's like the last chance of somebody grabbing that nine spot. Jesus Ferreira looks like he has it right now. But he even still plays more of a false nine than he does a true nine. And he's like 5'3" or something like that. So it's just like, you can't cross the ball into him, you know? So I don't know. This should be interesting.
Okay. Well, speaking of scoring goals, let's move over to La Liga, where we have, and the Champions League, because we have Lewandowski, he's been on fire, not only in La Liga, but most recently became the first player ever to have a hat trick for three different teams in Champions League matches. So the dude is just on fire. And so notables from the La Liga start. We talked about Musa. I just said the name Vini when you were talking about Brazil, because I want to talk about him. But in Barcelona, there's a few different guys I want to talk about. Let's start with Lewandowski. So give me your take. We hit on him on the Sports Card Strategy show last week a little bit. He was in the gauntlet. But elaborate more now that we're in the Soccer Card Strategy show on what the opportunity is with this guy. My gut tells me that you should just be sell because he's 34. Is he going to keep doing this? It seems like impossible that he would keep doing what he's doing. It seems like he has maybe been off the radar for a while, even though he's like, you know, a star. He's a bona fide star. You know, if you're PCing him, you got to be pretty happy right now. The fact that you're holding his cards, do you sell him and crystallize some money here? He's been featured in Slab Stocks Daily Slab a few times, which really, I mean, that newsletter alone can kind of drive the market up quite a bit, especially with soccer cards. So what are you doing with our guy Bobby L? No one calls him that, by the way, ever. And I just call him that.
Bobby L here. I think he's a sell at the moment. His market is super high right now. And if somebody's looking for Robert Lewandowski cards, then let him have them right now. The hard part here, though, Paul, is this guy is approaching GOAT status. I mean, he's 34. He's played for, how many seasons has he? He's played his first. I'm looking on Transfer Market right now. It looks like his first big senior team minutes were in 2006 or 5. So he's played for almost 20 years here, which is incredible considering he's 34. You know, it's 20 years ago is 14 years old.
How does that happen? He's 14?
He's almost played for 20 years. So he's 17 years right now. So 17
that's a lot of years.
Yeah.
That's
so he's been top class for a while. And you've just seen his steady market value rise. I remember when he was with Dortmund in 2010-11. Through like 14-ish, and that dude was amazing. Then he moves to Bayern, and everybody's like, oh, crap, you know, like the German Giants just pulled another one from their feeder team here. You know, like that just was sucky. But then he just went on to be Bayern's guy. You know, like he's out of this world good. He's got incredible, like all-time stats. He's been in the Ballon d'Or conversation several times. I mean, the guy is a legend already. And the hard part is when you score, so for, let's see, he's, as in all competitions, he has scored, all club competitions, he's scored 460 goals. So the guy definitely knows what he's doing, considering he's played 550-ish games. So he's almost scored a goal a game his whole career. So that's pretty outstanding. You don't just all of a sudden wake up and end up getting popularity because of this. I mean, he's had 30 goal seasons several times. And so in terms of Lewandowski's market, I would say sell now because he's got a new market. So of course, with moving to La Liga, moving to Barcelona, he's got more fans all of a sudden. You know, like he's been in the German market and he's been respected, but all of a sudden he moves to Barcelona and everybody kind of thought he was like, yeah, it's this old guy moving to Barcelona, but he's still Lewandowski and he's still really good. You know, like he's 34 years old. I mean, Ronaldo is 37, but then if you look at what Ibra's doing, Ibra's, I think, 41. You know, so it's just like, these players can be impactful for quite a long time. And so this guy, I respect Bobby L quite a bit, but I would say sell.
Bobby L.
But long term though, I would see him as an investable piece for the vault. Yeah.
All right, cool. So there's a few more La Liga guys I want to talk about before we wrap up today. And we're happy to take audience questions as well if they come in. So they are in no particular order. I don't want to spend too much time on Fati and Pedri because Fati is back He's a reserve. He's scored a goal. He's involved. He's behind Lewandowski and a couple of their other wingers. But Aubameyang being gone, I think maybe helps Fati. And then Pedri has been involved, playing a lot, scored a goal. Still one of the most sought after investments at the age of 19. Very hyped up. A lot of expectations for Pedri. Feel free to comment on those guys. But I want to throw out another guy because you brought him up in one of the previous episodes of this show, and it caught my attention. And I texted you and I said, I've got like 200 packs of these mega cracks from 2020. I'm going to rip all of them open this summer when I get back to the States, and I'm going to see if there's any Jeremy Pino mega cracks that I have. Now, at the time you mentioned him, so for those of you who don't know, he's Villarreal, 19 years old, Spanish national, super involved. So at the time, that was his only card, but a great call by you because now he's got way more investable cards out. So he's in the Obsidian release with the RC logo. And I'm looking right now, and I'm wondering what you think about his Obsidian 2021-2022 autos. There's some orange out of 50. There's some out of 149. There's a red flood out of 8. That's just sick looking. And he's in his red Villarreal kit in that particular shot. So Jeremy Pino is a guy that I don't hear about very often, other than from the Soccer Card Strategy Show right here on the nooffseason.com sports card content network. What do you think about these La Liga players that I've rattled off here in the interest of time?
So while I talk about this, will you compare a Obsidian Fati same number card with price wise with the Obsidian Pino?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
If you could try to find one that's comparable. Yep. Because I'm way more interested in investing in Pino right now because I think Fati and Pedri, I think they're great players, but I think for the most part, they got their attention because they're Barcelona young players. And I think everybody was like, okay, Messi has moved on. Barcelona's got to have somebody down there that's going to take the ranks, you know, like, because we're just assuming that Barcelona's got another goat just ready to roll out.
Yeah. And so, in fairness, Fati had a hat trick like in his debut or something. I might be getting that a little bit wrong, but I think he's like 16 years old. He comes in and has like multiple hat tricks in his first few games.
Yeah. And so we see how they have like these incredible young players. But more often than not, we see these big clubs like this have incredible youth players. And that's how they actually turn a ton of their money. You know, for instance, Fati's evaluation right now is at 66 million. Pino's at 44 million in terms of transfermarket.us. But at the same time, like these guys, I would much rather invest in Pino because I feel like he doesn't have eyeballs on him yet. And I feel like Fati and Pedri almost have prospect fatigue at this point. Like people are almost tired of being like, yeah, this is Fati's season. You know, this is his season. This is his time to break out. You know, like
he's got the Gio Reyna syndrome a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And okay. I think, so the comparison is, I'm struggling finding Fati rookie Obsidian autos, but from the same set. So this would be Fati's second year. I'm not saying he doesn't have rookie Obsidian autos with the RC logo, but they're about the same price, like 149 out of 149 Fati 2021-22 Obsidian patch auto. There's one day left on this particular listing. Has one bid at $59.99. Pino. Same card. Pino's considerably less in this scenario, but 2 days left, four bids at $5.50. So depending on how you gauge these auctions with time left and amount of bids, they're pretty comparable. I mean, Pino's less, but I don't know. That's what I got for that.
Yeah. I think I would rather have Pino right now because I think his market share is undervalued right now. And I would rather have an undervalued stock rather than an overvalued stock.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to spend the same amount of money, I'm going to get the Pino rookie card rather than the Fati Obsidian. And I think this is a great point right here. They're all going to be on the Spanish national team. That is a rising team now, because it's a team that's struggled, you know, over the past couple of years. You know, they've tried to find a new identity, but with Gavi, Pedri, Pino, and Gonzalez, they're going to be very, very good in the midfield. And it's a matter of, can they find the defenders to do what Sergio Ramos used to do every single game, where he used to just lock it down. And
we need some Gavi autos. I don't think they've hit the market yet, but I love to see that these Pino autos are out there. And I agree with Kendall. I think these are great buys. Southern Soccer Idiot agrees. Pino auto, everybody listening, I would say, these would be a great investment. They're pretty affordable.
So something that is interesting while we're here in terms of the auto conversation, Panini just got rights a couple of weeks ago to Mbappe's auto.
That is a fact.
Let's
talk about Mbappe, and you can elaborate on that in a second, but let's bring this conversation home with two players, Mbappe and Vini Jr. So continue with Mbappe here, and then we'll hit Vini Jr. and then we're out.
So last time we talked, I was completely out on Mbappe. I was like, no, this isn't happening. You know, sell now. He's not getting any better, blah, blah, blah. And then I just happened to tune in to PSG Champions League game last week or earlier this week.
Yeah.
And I tune in as Neymar chips it over the back line and on a full sprint volley, Mbappe just puts one in the back of the net. And I got my phone out and I tweeted, "My Lord, Mbappe." Like, that was incredible, you know? So for me, as an Mbappe hater, to come out there and say, "Holy crap, that was amazing," is pretty spectacular. Then 20 minutes later, still watching the same game, pulls a full volley from the other side of the field at a full sprint. And I was just like, okay, you know, like, this, all right, this guy still's got it, you know. And I will say that I'm a little tired of talking about Mbappe. And so Chase Krim texted me a couple of weeks ago and was like, "Hey, did you see that Panini got auto rights to Mbappe?" And I was like, "No, I didn't, because I kind of don't care, you know." but then now I'm like, you know what? That is pretty sick. But Mbappe autos are going to come out of some Panini products. Do I like Panini products? No. You know, I think Topps products are where it's at in terms of soccer card collecting. And if you go beyond that, I don't like Prism. I don't like Select. I'm okay. You know, I do like, I mean, nothing's more liquid than an Obsidian right now, you know? And so we'll see.
Yeah. So I'm going to use your own, knowledge here, and put it back at you, because you've said one of the smartest things anyone said to me, sports card related, over the last probably 4 to 6 months, was something you told me at the National. You were like, okay, if you think about kind of the concept of any news being good news for an athlete and their cards, you play that out into someone being in the news drives their search volume, and search volume on eBay in particular drives views. Views drive watch list. Watch list drives bids. Bids equal sales, right? So one could equate that any news is good news for that player's card sales. And so when you think about Mbappe, when I heard the news, I thought, okay, Kendall's point means in this situation that when these Panini autos come out, it's going to remind people, and these might not be the soccer people. These might be the people that are dabbling in soccer and only want to invest in Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe, right? And so, but it could open up the market for really any Mbappe card, no matter how small. And so that could benefit a lot of the soccer people that are holding Mbappe stuff that they just kind of view as, you know, not that big of a deal, because if people are searching for Kylian Mbappe cards when these autos come out, which is supposed to be later this month or the next month, and then you've got the World Cup after that, you could have a run on Mbappe value. We could be entering a big time, if you've been holding Mbappe cards, sell them, have them listed over the next like 3 to 4 months as newbies learn of this Panini news, see these cards on the market, search for these cards. All Mbappe cards then come up in the search results, or other Mbappe cards, I should say. I think it could benefit, like, you know, if you're holding a PSA 10 Mbappe 2018 World Cup grayback sticker, which the value has plummeted on that over the last 18 months. But if you're holding cards like that, I think the release of these Panini autos could definitely drive up the value. Of course, his play on the field, like if he's going to continue to dominate like that in the Champions League, that's another factor. So what do you think? Like, you might be tired of him, but do you think that the overall market for him is still strong?
Yeah, I do. It's similar to, you know, some like Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, minus the steroids. But there's guys that, because of my personality of always wanting to find the next diamond in the rough, I get really tired of talking about Aaron Judge all the time, you know, and so I think that's a little bit of the case for me and Mbappe. You know, like, I've just heard his name so much over the past 5, 10 years. And but what I will say is that it's interesting, because what I didn't think about right now is, like, the premier Mbappe cards are the stickers and the rookies or whatever, but none of them are autos.
Yep.
And so very soon the premier card will be the auto, which is what you're getting at. And so it's even more for me, sell your Mbappes now while they're at peak value, quote unquote, because the non-autoed versions might see a residual rise because of Mbappe's autos coming out. Or they might see a fall because they're like, oh, well, that's not the premier card anymore. You know, when something becomes the premier investable, something underneath that, you know, like, for instance, if you have a 2022 Corvette comes out, all of a sudden the 2021 Corvette's cheaper.
Yeah, you know, and like, so, releases in other sports, like NBA hoops is something until Donruss comes out, and then nobody wants hoops anymore. So,
right.
Yeah, totally a good point by you there. And okay, so one guy that I don't want to forget about is Vinicius Junior, also known as Vinny Jr. Let's talk about him, because to me, he's been there was probably some fatigue around him a couple years ago, or maybe 18 months ago, but then he had like the game-winning goal in the Champions League. He's on the Brazil national team, which you talked about earlier in the show. I think they're the favorite potentially to win, depending on whose odds you look at. And he plays for Real Madrid and is a star now. So he has some investable cards. We've talked about his autos a couple times on the Sports Card Strategy show. He's obviously got like a Donruss rated rookie sort of set of cards from 2018 Panini stuff. What are the top, how do you see Vinny Jr. and do you have a beat on his top cards that you would buy? I'm high on him. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm mega high on Vinny Jr. He was a guy that I also was tired of talking about for a while. He, like, if Fati and Pedri can eventually create value for themselves, this is Vinny Jr. is their best case scenario, because Vinny Jr. was struggling from prospect fatigue. Everybody was like, oh crap, maybe he's not going to be what we thought he was going to be. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, like Vinny Jr. everywhere, especially when he scored in the Champions League final last year. And this year, he's played in 5 games. I'm not counting the UEFA Super Cup. But, even if you do count that, he's played in 6 games so far, has 4 goals and 2 assists.
So, bro, he's good. Also, sorry, listen, sorry. Did you know, I think I just found like It could be tune in on Monday for the Sports Card Strategy Show, because there's going to be some Vinny JR in the gauntlet. Did you know he has some sick autos from 2021, 22 sets? He has, I know we don't like Panini soccer, but he's
unless
got
it's Obsidian. Unless it's Obsidian.
Unless it's Obsidian, thank you. He's got Origins gold autos out of 10, and he's got, and then this is Topps, obviously. He's got a 2020 Topps Museum Collection gold relic auto out of 50. That's really achievable. This is a PSA 9. Buy it now. I'm not sharing my screen, which I might do it Monday. I will do it Monday if this is in the gauntlet. But yeah, $499.99. Buy it now or best offer. I don't know, man.
Yeah, Ian brings up a good point here as well, saying that Benzema might be out to a ton of opportunities. Yeah, Benzema did wreck his knee in this game. Vinny Jr. might have an opportunity for a golden boot here at the World Cup. And if that happens, you're not even probably going to be able to find cards of him on eBay, because people are just going to be like, blip, 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 you know, like,
liquid.
I mean, that's a great point, Paul. If there's achievable stuff right now, his evaluation as of June 3rd is $110 million. I would say it's probably 50 million higher than that right now. This guy's incredible. He's scoring for the best team in the world. He's going to be a starter on the best national team in the world. I could see Vinny Jr. winning the Golden Boot as Brazil wins the World Cup, and I don't think that's a big stretch.
Yeah. I mean, God, we're on the same page. Okay, so just real quick, Vinny's most liquid cards, just in a quick glance, that sell the most often, like all the time, are pretty much any 2018 Donruss rated rookie. There's like press proofs, there's golds and things like that. Anything in a PSA 10 that's base, those, they're not like super high dollar, but they're really liquid. There's sales. There's Panini Obsidian. It doesn't say what year this is in the listing. Vinicius Jr. auto out of 75, Panini Obsidian, just sold yesterday for $136.50 raw. It's like a relic auto, sticker auto out of, it's Obsidian. I mean, so there's, my point is there, and then there's the 2019-2020 Topps Chrome UCL base and sapphire sets. So like, there's just, those would be the three that I would target in addition to the other two that I talked about a minute ago that I just threw out there. Those are going to be liquid, and they're all like super achievable compared to some of the prices on some of these other guys that are just like, he's, you just hit all the points, but he's still young. He lines up more than any, as we talk about the formula for investability, it's like he lines up more than anybody else. And Ian, talking about Benzema, and I think he's saying same page about Vinny as well. So thank you for that. Great stuff. Kendall, do you have anything else to add for the Soccer Card Strategy Show episode 5 before we sign off?
I would say out of all things that we've talked about today, Vinny is probably the best use of an investment.
Let's go. NoOffseason.com wrote about Vinny Jr. probably back in like November as part of the first beta launch of the Sports Card Investment Report. And we just put out an article. We were right about, we were wrong about, on nooffseason.com today. You can see it. And Vinny Jr. is in the, we were right about section. And also the buy Vinny Jr.
Are any of my takes in there as well?
I'm sure they are. I mean, you have influenced me.
Yeah,
like a ton in soccer, but also in baseball. So like your Ellie De La Cruz is in there. You know, we talked about Max Muncy. I know you weren't as convicted on Max Muncy as you were on Ellie De La Cruz, but basically I steal all of your baseball takes. So they're all in there. That's, I try good. To give you credit when I can. Definitely your soccer.
We're a team.
Exactly. Like we're Andy Kaysen. He's on our team, but he's not saying he's on our team. No, I'm messing with you.
What'd you call it?
I called it
Sports Card Opportunity Report.
The Sports Card Opportunity Report for September. Yeah.
Okay.
So it is. It is members. It is like, you know, Kendall's a member. He's a he doesn't have to pay for his membership because he's part of the team, but he's a member.
But I would. He's a contributor. I have before.
He has before, even when it was really bad. Anyway, now it's really good. So go check it out. All right, everybody. Kendall said bye, Vinny Jr. as his parting thoughts. I agree. Thanks to everyone who's watching and commenting. We will always reply to your comments. We love you. You are all part of our team. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. He's Kendall McKee with nooffseason.com and Wild Cards Box Breaks on Facebook. He also contributes to a lot of other publications. And we are out. Soccer Card Strategy Show, Episode 5. Don't forget to tune in Monday for the Sports Card Strategy Show coming up with Episode 47. We got a power-packed Episode 47 coming up on Monday. Everybody, thanks. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And here comes the outro music.
The rock music.
Rock!